Cool, and we're recording.
Wait, should we have discussed what the how this? Well, we'll do it on the air.
Yeah, yeah. They don't know.
They don't know what we've discussed.
You could also just change it and take it out.
No, it's
what
impossible.
The fuck?
That's no,
you
mean,
want us to edit this?
We're gonna yeah, print yeah. This, I mean, send it immediately to the president.
That may, hopefully, yeah. Which president?
George Bush W.
Oh, okay, the
George Bush W.
Future
Bush
president.
Yeah, sir. The podcast has hit the building.
G Dubs.
Hey, but you know, you work in Lower Manhattan, so
I do.
You see his work every day.
Oh man.
Cool.
Well, here we are.
Have you guys I was gonna ask a question, but I didn't think about it ahead of time.
We're doing great so far. We should probably edit this part.
God damn it, Kevin.
Oh man. You seen Dune 2?
I have not.
All right. Yeah, that was my only question I have. You can go.
Yeah.
I've seen Dune 1. Does that get me anywhere?
Yeah.
Well, Dune 2 is a lot like Dune 1. Dune 2, it's like yeah. Dune 1's the groundwork for Dune 2.
Yuma,
Jesus Christ. Dune 1 is the Old Testament. Dune 2 is the New Testament.
Oh, yeah. Is that like commonly known? Or
no,
you have to be...
I just made that up.
Oh.
It's Gnostic.
Technically, the whole thing is the Quran, I think.
Yeah. So. Nice.
The newest testament.
Right.
Except for the Book of Mormon.
I mean, I love Zendaya, and I love that she fits into the equation.
Yeah, we all love Zendaya.
Do you know that the new season of Euphoria, she was supposed to be a private detective?
Yeah, that's
and
very cool.
They fucking bailed on it. And yeah. I was like, God damn it. I already feel creepy watching Euphoria. Like, make it a detective show. Give me what I need.
Would you?
I love this. It's all the energy I've ever wanted from a man, from a female dog.
Please.
A dog.
Please. Please touch me.
Yuma.
Okay. I guess we'll maybe cut this part.
Nah.
No,
it's okay.
Okay.
No. Everyone needs to know that Yuma needs love.
Do you guys think Zendaya is a better detective or Pikachu?
Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Definitely Pikachu.
I think so too. No shade on Zendaya. I just don't think it's like the
well, there
best
are,
thing.
Yeah, there are things that she would be better at Pikachu at.
Yeah. For
wearing
sure.
a gown.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't know about that.
I've seen some drawings on the internet that suggest otherwise.
Yeah, Pikachu fucking slays. What are you talking about? You're probably thinking of Raichu. Raichu has like no swag. But
yeah,
Pikachu?
Well, you know, Zendaya's got the legs going for her. And...
Pikachu's got like little stubs.
Yeah, the tail. The yeah. tail is great.
Yeah, there's no tail on Zendaya.
Nope. You're right about that. That we know of.
Oh, that would be fun. Like, just... Like, you know, like all the weird conspiracies on like someone starting like which celebrities have tails?
Because there's like a percentage of people are born with tails.
This is such a fucking good podcast.
Percentage? I don't know. It's not a lot.
It's like 45%.
My kids were not born with tails.
Statistically speaking, one of us probably has a tail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's Yuma.
It's definitely Yuma.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is gorgeous.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yuma can't, when she interacts with dogs with docked tails, she gets weirded out because she can't figure out how they're feeling because dogs do so much signaling with their tails. So she just bites them. Yeah. Just that, like me, if I don't understand like, something.
Now I know how you're feeling.
I don't know how many cases you want.
It's like someone speaking fucking Czech to me. I don't know. Ow.
Yeah.
Get it. I get it.
Well, it's been a good episode, guys. Thank you.
The way that she's half laying off this is giving me anxiety. Like, she's going to slide off.
She is doing so much right now. We went for a run this morning, and she does this thing where, like, she'll run super fast, and then she'll just do a fucking forward somersault in a patch of grass and lay there and won't tell me she's doing it. So I'm, like, running. All of a sudden, like, rah!
I have a waist leash,
so it's
back.
Strapped on my waist. And she does anchor games. Isn't that right, buddy?
That's pretty fun.
That
and they
is
try to
fun.
Pull her like a CrossFit kind of thing.
And people yell at me, just like the old people in the park cannot believe that, like, you know, two cool cats like me and Yuma are hanging out. Mm-hmm. They love to be like, watch out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hate that. People like to yell things at me about my kids sometimes. Like, hey, your kid's running into the street. It's like, I know.
Yeah, I hate him.
I'm aware.
He will learn make his lesson. Own decisions. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like 18 or some shit. Well, oh, the wine's not what I expected. Hey, guys, welcome to Disgorgeous. It's a podcast about wine. I'm John McCarroll.
Hi, I'm Kevin Diamond. Our guest today, ooh, I clinked. Kenneth Crum.
Hello. Welcome.
And you have entered the Cabernet Sauvignon / Sauvignon Blanc zone. And we're excited to have you here. Thank you.
I am excited to be here.
So the premise of this season is two great grapes that great together.
Great.
Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc. Two grapes that people often, who may be in our wine circles, dismiss as like, I fucking hate those grapes kind of statements.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out yes or no. Do we fucking hate these grapes?
The amount of prospective guests we've pinged in the last couple of weeks who are literally like, no, I fucking hate those. Mm-hmm. End of story. It's actually pretty cool.
It's very funny because you've done Bordeaux, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you gotten that reaction to Bordeaux?
Slightly less. I think because, like, some people are still like, well, Bordeaux used to be really good.
Yeah.
And I can see, like, a future for it. But, like, when people start thinking about these grapes on their own, not as part of a blend or anything, I think they get really scared often about what is going to be in their glass.
Sure. I get scared,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Do you hate either of these grapes? You hate Cab Sauvignon, right? You said you don't like Cab Sauvignon.
I mostly don't.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I am more likely, like when I'm thinking about Cab Sauv and Sauv B, mm-hmm, I'm more likely to like Sauv B, mm-hmm, from places that aren't the place,
yes,
like the Loire Valley.
Yeah.
Whereas Cabernet, I'm like, generally, I'm like, yeah, old Bordeaux, you know, you can shit on it, but it's great.
Yeah.
And there are some Napa, older Napas that I've had that have been awesome, but I'm just less likely to like it.
It also seems like it's less often that you find it in a completely unusual place, being done in a completely unusual way, where today, mm-hmm, might be a different example of that, but like... To your point, I think you can be like, oh, there's like Sauvignon Blanc in Austria, for example, mm-hmm, we were talking, right, about last week. Like, oh, that's really fucking cool.
Right.
Or if there's some plantings of it in California where people are doing like a skin contact to it. Like, that's kind of neat. I don't know.
Right.
Whereas like, you're more likely to be like, do you have any Cabernet Sauvignon at a store? And they're like, yeah, from Napa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The conversation.
And it's like $75. Don't you want it?
Yeah.
That's our cheapest.
Yeah. What's the expression like... There's so much more done with Sauvignon Blanc, mm-hmm, than Cabernet. Like what you're saying, like, you know, you can macerate it, or even just because of the nature of the grape, like those more tropical, like if you can just hit it right and get that kind of tropical expression, but still have a great acid, mm-hmm, like it doesn't have to be crazy overly oaked. Whereas, you know, the colonizer grape.
Hell yeah.
I said it.
Fuck yeah. Let's go. You're on notice, Cabernet Sauvignon.
You are about to be canceled. No, I mean, it's just like normally it's either stainless steel and not that expressive or special, yeah, or it's heavy oak.
Yeah, right. I mean, the one we had last week was like, had every box ticked for it to be a great wine, and then there was 40% new oak, and it was like... Like, you know, there were things about it I really liked, and it was hard to get.
I love it. That we're bringing, we got away like, with last week, no one yelled at us. You just want to bring it back.
Well, it's fair.
I mean,
where was it like, from?
Don't worry about it. God fucking damn it. Okay, Yuma, you got to squeak in the other room, buddy. You're killing me today. So just for the listeners, we're we're recording on the couch today because it's two bottles of wine. So that's why the energy is so nice. But that Yuma is being outrageous.
She has more access to us.
Well, you know, she's always been a silent partner in Disgorgeous. Mm-hmm. I think she's thinking about not being so silent.
Yeah, sure. I love it. It's really cool.
I'm all about female empowerment.
Oh, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I guess
don't,
I am too.
Don't
Fuck.
Say it.
Damn it. Gotcha. Okay, Yuma, come over here and squeak. Yuma is the only woman who will ever be on a Disgorgeous mic. I tell you this. This is a podcast for boys. What do you guys think about the eclipse? What's your star sign?
I'm going to look straight into that motherfucker because I'm a man.
Hell yeah, brother.
That's how you figure out what's really going on.
Yeah. Ain't no star in the sky going to mess me up.
Oh, man. I'm like, actually, so just so everyone knows, the eclipse is later today. I'm a little worried. It's going to be 4.5 minutes of complete darkness, and I am going to be doing drugs. So like,
what time is it?
It's at 3:30, which is also cut off, which is so important to me because crazy. I'm going to be high as shit.
Did you buy glasses?
A friend said they bought glasses, but I think I can squint.
Well, build one of those boxes you build in kindergarten, like the shoe box in the mirror, because then it doesn't hurt your eyes.
Yeah, I did that last time.
Oh, we can just trump it. Just raw dog the fucking sun.
Just raw dog the sun.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, right?
Oh, I can't see anything. I guess I can't.
You've seen plenty of things. Okay.
Well, I can't game if I can't see.
You can't what?
Game.
Oh, that's too bad. They haven't invented games for blind people
yet. There are blind people who like echolocate video games. Oh. I keep on seeing it on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And they have like dolphin senses.
Hell yeah.
It doesn't seem as fun as the way I do it, but it seems cool.
Yeah, it's cool for sure.
Huh.
All right. So then okay, don't look at the sun for sure because you want to keep gaming. Am I the only one that's like not that excited? I'm not that excited about it for some reason.
I don't care.
Okay, cool. I mean, I get it. It's like, cool.
Okay, I live with a fucking woman, so it's not my choice. Like, Emily's like, oh my God, this is going to be like a brand new thing in our relationship. I don't fucking give a shit. Am I right, guys? We should fucking MGTOW.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Ladies be tripping.
What if, I'm just saying this out loud, what if we just turn this into a red pill wine podcast? Like, how... Can you imagine the amount of money we would get instantly? Like, we used to be woke, and now we think Merlot is the only good grape.
I'll be your first guest on that, too.
That would be so cool.
So anyway, Cabernet Sauvignon, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely not a colonizer grape. Mm-hmm. I don't know who would ever say that.
Yeah.
I'm tired of natural wine.
Yeah.
So we're drinking the Franco Turpin Sauvignon 2017.
No, Franco Turpin, those are the chemicals that get you high if you're smoking Franco, right?
Honestly, every time I think about this producer, I think of terps.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, bro, hell yeah. The terps are high in this one.
It does taste like weed.
It does kind of taste like weed. I'm not going to lie. It kind of tastes like fucking weed.
Dank.
So this is, what I think is cool about this episode in general is that like, both the Sauvignon Blanc and the Cabernet Sauvignon are kind of going against type here. So like, Sauvignon Blanc here is a 10-day skin contact. 1 year in oak, 1 year in stainless steel, 4 years in bottle before release. So we're talking about age, we're talking about skin contact with the Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. And then with the Cab Sauv that we'll have later, it's carbonically macerated, light extraction, stainless steel right into bottle. So it's sort of like they're switching, they're trading places.
Yeah, yeah.
Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Is that, who's in that movie?
Yeah. Okay, was thinking like Lindsay Lohan and
Freaky Friday.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Put Lindsay Lohan and Eddie Murphy in a movie, like just the most canceled movie possible.
They would have a lot of fun.
I think so. The energy is so sick today.
I mean, I just like the moment where you both thought about that.
Yeah, you can see this picture like, okay, what would the plot be?
Do you remember when Lindsay Lohan really liked the renegade Islamicist cleric Gulen?
No.
She was a Gulenist for a while. He's the guy who lives in Pennsylvania. You have to have been paying attention to Lindsay Lohan drama from like 2018.
I don't think I was.
She was a Gulenist. Okay. It was really cool.
I believe you.
She would like tweet in Turkish sometimes and kept on like stepping out. Oh, she was so cool. I don't think she's into Islam anymore. Mistake.
All I know about her now is she did that Netflix movie in Ireland that people really liked.
Did she do an accent?
Like princess? She did. It was like
she's in love with two different like Irish guys.
Lindsay O'Lohan.
Yeah, something like that. People were like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. I cannot get enough of it.
Really, all of those like Netflix holiday.
Yes,
I eat them right up.
You would apparently love this.
Everyone's
like, this is like if Hallmark movies times two in my brain.
Okay.
John, we should watch it later.
Okay, I would love to watch it. I've been watching. There's been a lot of changes in my life. Uh-huh. You guys didn't ask. First of all, I'm into brownie mix again. This is my disgorgeous tip zone. You don't have to bake brownies from scratch. And a lot of times people think, because like, I'm a really good baker, that I'm baking brownies from scratch. No, sir. It's too much work. You get a brownie mix, you make really good brownies off that. I've had brownies like three times in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, how about that's a lot of brownies.
That is a lot of brownies.
Yeah.
I like brownies, but brownies feel like a once, maybe twice a year kind of thing for me.
Yeah, yeah. They're pretty decadent.
I would say I'm not really good at controlling my impulses. So
so do you just follow the box, or do you like make some shit up?
I follow the box. Like, okay. They know what they're doing, and you can have piping hot brownies in like 40 minutes, which is so sick.
Well, next time you do it, I challenge you to sub milk for water. It is really good.
And that's just a great tip for almost anything.
Yeah.
If you're working out.
Yeah. Sub some milk.
Next time you're making like a scotch and water, sub milk.
Yeah, you're boiling pasta. Yeah, so I'd say like, you know, brownies are really good. Mm-hmm. I was in Europe recently, and it made me think about the geniuses of American baking. And I think brownies are really underrated in the canon of treats.
Brownies are very American, right? They feel like
Americanized
dessert. You don't really see them anyplace else.
And I know that like British people have biscuits or whatever. But
they're
like,
so bad.
Yeah, they're not the same thing. Like, there is a difference. Like, shortbread and like a chocolate chip cookie, mm-hmm. they're not the same fucking thing. I think Americans really nailed the decadent from the oven treat.
What the fuck is this podcast?
What happens is when energy? You gather three bros together?
There's a lot of mustaches. Just
talk
on
about bro-y. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
I mean, as a full beard kind of guy, mm-hmm. I always find people with a mustache to be kind of like...
We're sneaky.
You're on the fence. Like, I don't know if I can trust you or not. Like, are you my facial hair brother, or are you like a clean face freak? Right. I don't know.
So
where do your allegiances lie?
Why do you have a mustache? Tell me what your thoughts are.
So my goal is probably 1 to 2 days from now where you have like a little bit of a... Like a beard, like but then you have like a heavy mustache beard. Yeah. Like that to me is where I really shine. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing this thing where I just never shave my mustache, but I do shave my beard.
Because I love that for you.
It gets like too long, and I'm not good at trimming my beard. It's all or nothing.
Yeah, that's why I started going to a really expensive barber who does my beard also. Because if the reason I have a beard is I'm lazy.
Yeah.
It's not really a fashion choice. I don't want to pick up a fucking razor. I don't have time. So if Jesus, I can have a beard that just like eventually looks bad and then I go to a guy who fixes it, that's the life for me.
Yeah.
That's tea.
It's very fancy.
It is fancy. But it's like my one decadence I have left. As I let this guy touch my face, that's it. That's my head. Give me a massage. Give me that mentholated towel.
You get a massage at your barber?
No, but he just like, it just feels like one.
Oh, yeah.
Like when he's cutting, it's just like he's grabbing. He's using the scissors up and down. You know that
technique? Yeah.
Your hair looks feels good. There's a lot of texture in your hair right now.
And then, yeah, it's that warm towel at the end.
You got like the boy band on top and the Jesus really, on the bottom.
Really good.
Thanks, guys.
I
What do you think about the wine?
No, the wine. I am, well, first of all, it tastes like fucking hash. It's mm-hmm. so nice. I like Turpin a lot. Friuli is really weird. Can you tell us about Friuli, Kenneth? Why the fuck is everyone so insane there?
Because just like a lot of Northern Italy, mm-hmm. it's like multiple identities clashing. Mm-hmm. Like where Turpin is like they are surrounded by Slovenia on two sides, on the west and the north. So it's like...
That sounds scary.
I mean, they're coming.
They're coming. I would hate to be around a bunch of Slovenians coming.
I feel like I set you up for that. Yeah. And so
I feel like that's my Google searches. Yeah. I'm also really into Central European pornography right now. Brownies, Central European pornography, and drugs.
Oh, you're doing great. Yeah. The mustache makes more sense now.
I'm also not drinking.
Alcohol?
Oh. I've been trying to like not really drink, just to do drugs instead. So I'm the person that every wine store hates.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're the reason why the market has been down for the last. Yeah. Oh, John hasn't been buying wine.
Every time I walk in a wine store, they're like, yeah, all these people, like, we used to have all these customers, and now they're just going and buying weed. I'm like, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Well, see you later.
I'm going to drink this entire bottle because I drink wine. Yeah, no, it's a combination of that and like the Friuli kind of being the pioneer of a lot of modern wine technology, like, you know, stainless steel tanks and that style of vinification. So it's like this weird thing where part of the identity is very, very old world amphora, long macerations, and the other is like super industrial, or at the very best, maybe fresh, modern white wines or red wines.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because, like, again, the Veneto is right there. And that is like ground zero for like wine as product in Italy. So like they have the worst and best of both worlds available to them.
Yes.
It was the best of wines. It was the worst of wines. They started off the dome.
How'd you come up with that?
I don't know, man.
You're smart. So smart.
Thank you very much. yeah, it is like, it's very it's fascinating because it does, like, you have, it's almost, it's a, I don't want to say, can you say schizo anymore? It's very of two minds. Okay. I saved it.
Yeah, it's tweaking.
But when I drink wines from here, I tend to, and if I'm drinking something from this region, it tends to be more like this, more macerated, like amphora stuff, because the other stuff doesn't really interest me that much from around here.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I had a winemaker one time in Friuli tell me, and it, weird that a Friulian winemaker would say something racist, because they never do. And he was like, yeah, well, my wines are like this because all the other wines have a little bit too much Slavic influence, and they're for a different kind of cuisine. Mines are a little bit purer.
Oh,
and I
was like,
that's so sick. I love the sulfur in your wine, sir. if you want to know who it was, you can send me a DM and I'll tell you the exact winemaker. I made fun of his glasses too. And now I have the same pair. So can my right wing turn be coming any sooner? I love this wine. My complicated thought. There's been so many things done to this wine that I don't fucking know if it tastes like Sauvignon Blanc at all. Like the grape becomes a canvas when you do as many manipulations. These are like not chemical manipulations. They're like their processes done with and by the wine, but it's is there Sauvignon Blanc character here?
I think there's like certain like tropical influences to like the fruit that is apparent, like that speaks to Sauvignon Blanc to me.
Yeah.
Like another producer from this general area, Skirk, who I sell.
Skirk!
The Ograde, whatever, Ograde.
Yeah.
And it's equal parts of Chard, Sauvignon Blanc, Vitovska, and the one I'm forgetting.
Merlot.
Malvasia. Right? Whatever. It's four different grapes. And that wine, it's the same thing where like the Sauvignon Blanc is giving like all the aromatic qualities and everything else is doing everything else. So I do get like an aromatic sort of profile here that I imagine has something to do with the Sauvignon Blanc. But it is interesting because a lot of the wines here are not often Sauvignon Blanc solo. It's often like a Sauv Chard blend.
Yes.
If you're doing international varietals for this, which I think maybe is... To your point, like, well, I just want the Sauvignon Blanc for some aromatics, but I want the Chardonnay for the body because I'm really working the body with this process.
Right. I think there's, I mean, it's hiding in the maceration and the structure. It's the characteristics are hiding, but it's here. It's also hiding behind the enormous amount of VA on this wine. I actually think like, the end of the day, you know, later today when you're really, really high and watching mm-hmm. the eclipse, you should take a sip of this and tell me how it's faring.
Do you think I'll like it or dislike it?
I think you'll maybe not like it.
You don't like it.
I think it's good. Mm-hmm. It's not my style.
There is a lot of VA.
There is so much VA that I feel like the when you add Sauv to these wines, like the Skirk, it adds this like floral, really pretty touch to it. And I think just with the maceration is mm-hmm. probably like – and the VA is probably just like hiding all that. But I really like the fruit that I'm mm-hmm. getting. Like I like that touch of tropical, but a lot of like apricot, like dried apricot and all that stuff. It's
when we first suggested this wine, you were like, yeah, I like some of his wines.
Yeah.
Do you find this VA, like the VA is often an issue for you, or are there different issues for you with
the stuff? It's mostly the VA. It's normally that's been the only issue, actually. Yeah. But I think sometimes like that'll blow off mm-hmm. and it will be it'll like level out mm-hmm. and you will get some more of the florals and more like I find myself risking it less because normally I don't have the time or the ability to just be like, I'm going to check in on this tomorrow because mm-hmm. I don't buy the wines, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I something that I think is very interesting about these wines, I feel they're very like kind of like natty wine 1.0 in a way mm-hmm. that like they're there and there are some pretty noticeable flaws. And it's kind of like, oh, if you're cool, you'll taste through them. But like, I feel like I'm growing less and less likely to taste through them when like the people who learned from these producers figured out how to do it just a little bit nicer.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
And like, you know, sometimes, and I swear to God, this isn't me doing my old guy soapbox. Sometimes you just find these like winemakers kind of fossilize that like, hey, you know, this was working. I'm going to keep doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I see that from a lot of like you know like the people that you know would have going to be drank at the 10 Bells in 2013. I still see it now.
Right, right, right.
Is that an old guy opinion? I'm so worried of having old guy opinions.
It's okay.
We're old guys,
and we're right wing.
Right wing Republican old wine bros. Uh-huh. That's how someone would describe me for
definitely,
sure.
Definitely, yeah.
Constantly.
Absolutely. You work at an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. It's a country of bros.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The whole country. Does have a lot of bros.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's not wrong.
I think there's something there's a lot I really like in this wine. The VA is like really turbo. And a lot of times, like macerated wines from Friuli, I'm like, I'm so good for a glass.
Yeah.
But like drinking the bottle, which I guess when I said I'm not drinking that much, I should be graded on a curve. Like I'm not drinking so much compared to how I was drinking like a year ago. I'm drinking a lot compared to like a person with healthy hobbies. Yeah. I could not get through this on my own. Like I would.
Maybe with like a really big old pork chop.
Maybe, but
the thing is, for me, a wine with this much VA, and I have a relatively high tolerance for VA in general, like, it's not the kind of wine it reads as like, oh, this is a wine you're supposed to like chug it mm-hmm. fast.
Yeah.
It's big. It's mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of VA. It's like, boom, like mm-hmm. chug your lemonade and feel refreshed kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
So like thinking like, oh, I want to like sit down and sip this with a pork chop. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah.
I opened a bottle of, oh shit, I can't remember the producer. It was one of the Black Lamb bottles that we didn't do on last mm-hmm. season. Or it must have been last season. And it was the 2009. It was like an amber wine. Oh. It was so intensely oxidized. And I sort of just like grabbed it. I was like, I just need to open a bottle. I want one glass of wine. And I had to like put it in a decanter for like an hour before I could have a glass of it because it was just like so locked into place by the oxidized nature of it and the age and everything. And then for like 45 minutes, I was like, oh, now it's really pretty right now.
Right.
But then I tried it the next day and it was like, oh, now it's done. Like it was like mm-hmm. I hit the window and it took a while. Like I feel like this wine could be similar. But then that's like, do you just drink the whole bottle in that 45 minute window? I guess sometimes you do.
I mean, Sure.
Yeah.
But wine's not an exact science, guys. There's no guild studying wine.
I was like, well, it, yeah.
I mean, they're actually inventing new molestation techniques, really. Oh,
I always forget, like, that in a lot of ways, Kenneth is our least natified friend. You're also like our most, one of our most stylish friends. Like, you look so cool, and I forget you're like,
yeah,
a little bit of too much VA for me. I'm like, that's not what your outfit says. Yeah.
I like to keep people on their toes for sure. I definitely look like I would like really love this wine. Mm-hmm. And I don't dislike it. Yeah. I don't dislike the wine. Mm-hmm. I think it's one thing that I think is really cool about the lineup together is that a wine that generally, you know, both of these wines are planted all over in all these regions. And this is the one that usually it's like made in the crushable, like easy, big house, like, way and
producible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Whereas this has so much personality.
Yeah.
And it is a big wine and it's got like a bunch of tannins and death. And, you know, it's cool that we're, that you guys went this way with Sauvignon and then the other way with Cab with a like lighter, like.
Should we pour some of the Cab?
It's fine. That's not some fucking Cab, dude. Let's go. I'm mispracing that for when this becomes a right wing wine. Let's have some Cab.
Dude. You gotta say dude.
Hey, dude.
I think bros say dude still, right?
Hey. Bros say definitely say dude.
Chickas one. Beer me a cab, bro.
Yeah.
Is that
people still say chief?
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We're calling each other boss.
Boss is cool.
Boss is the coolest.
Yeah. Give me that cab, brother.
Yeah. Well, actually, that sounds like me. Yeah, you're right. I've been unironically calling everyone brother recently. It's like not cool.
Is this a death cab? Because you're cutie. How's that?
That's really good.
You're good.
So the cab and the Sauvignon Blanc, those are both remnants of Napoleon, right? Like the
supposedly, but I've also like heard that that's like all both, like, cause where's the place where they have a bunch of Syrah?
Australia,
in Italy, you idiot.
Like not Tuscany.
Well, yeah, outside, but there's like a specific DO that has a ton of Syrah outside Tuscany. Doesn't matter. The story there is like, oh, Napoleon brought the Syrah here. And I feel like every time there's like international varieties in Italy, they're like that. Rascally Napoleon.
Or the Phoenicians.
Right. And then they're like, actually, it's been here for longer than that, but it's a cool story.
Right.
People like Napoleon for some reason.
No, I mean, I've heard that it's grown, it was grown in Bordeaux for before Napoleon, and it grew in other parts of Europe, but just under a different name, like before Bordeaux.
In the long ago.
In the time before.
Yeah, because Cabernet Sauvignon is like a relatively recent name for Cabernet Sauvignon.
Right, exactly.
I was reading this too, where it was like, it was played at other places, called something different, before it got sort of solidified as Cab Sauv in Bordeaux. And then the name traveled.
Right, and that specific strain was what was like replanted throughout the 18th century or 17th century. It's
interesting that Indica?
You want this to be a weed podcast so bad.
Just to fit into your new lifestyle.
I have a weed phase every 4 or 5 years. I smoke a lot of weed for like 2 or 3 months, and then I'm like, oh, I get too scared. I'm in the good part where I'm like, I'm having fun. I can tell like the getting scared time is coming very soon.
Sure.
So I guess if we want to do a weed podcast episode, we should probably do it in the next couple weeks. Great. Because I'm going to be like a no-smoking zealot real soon.
I'm surprised you haven't done, like, a strain.
I keep on trying. I'm pitching an article to Wine Enthusiast. Like, no one steal this, TMTM, which is, like, what strain you should smoke if you like to drink these things. I want to write a fucking listicle. I'm tired of having to do research or, like, have opinions. Just, like, please give me $500, and I will put 1,000 words on a paper that makes sense.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
If you like Syrah, you'll probably like peyote cookies.
Something else I think is interesting about this sort of conversation about Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc.
This is good.
This is good. Yeah, is like the the pigeons came around to this side.
Jesus Christ.
They're like, how come you aren't podcasting in the other room? They're just checking on us. That was cool. You know, like the name obviously comes from wild, right? These are both kind of old enough grapes that they were wild crossings that were then codified or whatever. And when you think about the use of both of these wines in a modern context, they're perhaps two of the least wild expressions of grapes often, right? Yeah. That you can think of.
You hear that?
So what I like about the two wines we chose for this episode is there is a wildness about, like, there's an attempt to try to find the wildness of grapes.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, like whatever that is.
I mean, they're not playing to type.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is very cool.
Yeah.
I unironically like that. Like, it does taste like a cab. It just tastes like a cab that I want to drink.
Yeah.
Which means that, like, actual cab drinkers would, like, you know, not drink it. And they'd be maybe a little bit rude. But this is like, ooh, it's like blackberries and like a little must. And like, there's a little vegetal note, but it's like, it's just toned a little down. Yeah. This is Carbo?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Who is this? Is
Bacchanali. Mm-hmm. Essentially the winemaker for, Jesus, why am I blanking on that?
I can look it up right here. Hold on. Bum. Sebastian Nocello.
Podere Lirepi.
Oh, okay, cool.
Podere Lirepi and his bro got together and were like, hey, you know, you're doing a bunch of cool things over at Podere Lirepi, because they tend to go more natural style Brunello.
That is got to be the smallest market share on earth. Like, yeah, we do a 00 Brunello, and people are like, I'm going to come to your house and kill you with a gun.
Luckily for them, the family that owns Podere Lirepi is the Illy family of the Illy coffee, so they don't like need the money.
I have heard that the Illy coffee family is slightly mobbed up. Is that a thing? I'm just kidding.
Cut the mics.
I I don't know.
He's winking.
I can't say yes or no. Oh no.
On my red carpet?
On your table.
I don't give a shit about this fucking table.
Yeah, so this is like, yeah, and this is we're on volcanic.
Yeah.
Lava dome, as they say.
Second tallest in all of Italy.
Very cool. That reads when you're drinking it. There is like a sort of like the mineral component of this is unlike what I would expect from just a Carbo Cab Sauv. It's got like this almost ashy minerality to it.
Wait, where is this located? This is located in Brunello or no?
No, it's south of.
Okay, cool.
It's south of Brunello, like almost. It's closer to the Lazio border.
Okay, cool.
So it's way south of Siena. It's this really high elevated dormant volcano in Tuscany. But they do this. They do their Sangiovese Carbo as well. They do a rosé that's Carbo Sangio. It's real. They're all pretty good.
This is really fucking fun. Like this is like almost a little bit silly, which is kind of like. I've been thinking a lot about how this podcast is not real, and I still cannot believe that people listen to it. Which is, if you're listening to this, do something else. But like what wines read good on a podcast versus what wines read good in like a real life situation? Uh-huh. Like this is exactly the kind of wine that like you don't need food. You can kind of like just have a little sip and just start chatting about stuff.
Right.
It's a very good podcasting wine.
Yeah.
But like, I think it would also be a good dinner wine.
Yeah. It's still got like great tannins and there's acid there and the structure is pretty great. I like the way the Brett kind of folds into the fruit and everything else going on. Like, I think it's a well-rounded, and the wines are getting better. I think like the first few vintages, that happens.
Yeah, whatever.
Right?
New project, new place.
Yeah. New phone. Who dis?
New phone. Who dis? It's also like
tannins. I don't know her.
To your point, like this is wines that you can just drink and talk about. Like it is an interesting category of wine when you think about this. Like, the way that we, as younger wine professionals, perhaps
fuck you, man. Wine
at the time, like when we first were starting.
Oh, when
like
we were young,
we might consume wine now.
Ages
I've
ago,
I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, and I've brought this up several times in the podcast.
But
like,
get deep going. No one ever listens.
Children changed the way I drink wine.
Wait, what?
Yes, it's crazy. I know. But it's not just like that's not just unique to me. Like, even if you don't have fucking kids, but like if you're now like in your mid 30s, pushing 40. Like, maybe you're only drinking wine with food now.
You're doing synthetic drugs.
You're doing way more synthetic drugs.
Kettlebells and brownies.
It's not exactly like, oh, I'm going to go have like a bottle of wine on a Thursday afternoon, necessarily. Like,
right.
Or it might have been at one point. Like, oh, we're all, my day, like, Tuesdays are my Fridays. I'm going to get drunk in park with 6 or 9 bottles of wine. Like,
yeah.
That might be happening less. And so the wines you're reaching for, maybe you're spending more per bottle and drinking less per sitting than you were before. And what does that mean for the kind of wine that you want or that you like or its usefulness?
I mean, don't know. Every once in a while, like, I'll be seeing the young whippersnappers out there, mm-hmm. like, just drinking, like, they're drinking a lot, but none of it's very good. And I'm like, yeah. You know, go off. I've been there. In fact, you can hear episodes 1 to 100 where we were doing that. But, like, you know, like, it's true joy comes from, like, spending so much money on a bottle of wine and being scared to open it for years.
Yeah.
And then finally opening it and saying, this was mid.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that is my takeaway from both of these producers is, like, if you're going to give me Cabernet or Sauvignon Blanc, like, give it to me in a way that has a perspective that's new. Don't give it to me as something that you think I want,
right?
Which is mostly what the grapes are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we know you're going to love this and we need to sell wine. So here's this, because most of the time that sucks. And that goes from like the top level Piemonte Cabernets to like just the $3 Sauvies from, you know, wherever, Australia.
Ew.
I like that both of these have like something to say
for sure, and it's like, and neither of these wines were cheap, like they're both 50 or something.
So
like, and, but,
I mean, they're cheap for us. Well, we ball.
I had a friend I was with a friend of mine who was like, I need to talk to my wife, she's like spending like $50 a bottle on wine. And I was like, so what are you going to talk to her about?
Is she busy later? Like, what's up? Yeah.
He's like, no, that's like a hang? Lot for a bottle of wine. I was like, is it – like, what's she buying? Like, what kind of bottles? I'm interested in knowing what she's drinking because that sounds great to me.
Yeah. I've had that realization with, you know, when I go out, I'm usually going out with wine people or people who love
you're
wine
champagne.
Or like – or I'm having champagne. But like a few months ago went out to LA where I lived before coming back to New York and just dinner with old friends. And they're like, oh, you picked the wine, of course. And then at the end, and I kept it in the like 150. I was like, these guys aren't trying to ball out. Let's keep it in the 1 to 150. And like, I found out that that's actually balling out.
So yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like it's,
you found out way too late.
Yeah.
In New York City, it's like, you can't really drink a bottle of wine for less than 150
right.
with other wine people.
Right.
Want to drink it.
Right.
That. I don't know. If I want to try something new and different and be interested, we got to, and I'm not saying that's good or bad.
It's not good. I would say it's not good.
Yeah. It's not great.
And it's a good amount of money. I mean, if you're spending with a lot of people and you get a little bit, I don't know.
I mean, this would be around 120 on the list, you know?
Yeah.
Terpenes a little, you know, around the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not terrible.
But the alternative.
This has got some chalky fucking tannins all of a sudden just popping in there.
The alternative to that is like what we talked about last week, again, about the Certas, which is like, we're going to charge 90 a bottle for this or whatever. There better be at least 40% new oak, because then when someone tastes it, they're like, oh, that's where the money's going.
Right.
And that's a worse future for me for any grape, where it's like the style has to indicate a richosity that is unpleasant to me for it to justify the price they want to get
word.
For it. Yeah, richosity
is so good. It's like Paula Abdul's vibology.
I've been compared to Paula quite a few times
today.
I do have a cartoon cat who is my friend.
It's me.
It's John.
Yeah. What's his name? DJ Fuck Cat?
No.
Is
it's
it?
Not Fuck Cat, but it is. It's like
DJ Mac Scat Cat. Scat Cat.
Hell yeah, it's Scat
Cat. Oh. I'm like DJ Mac Cat.
But I find like if I'm gonna like, to our point, it's not unusual that I would buy a $50 bottle of wine.
Right.
I would not be upset with this wine at that price point,
yeah,
personally. But I also have different thresholds and different things that bring me pleasure. And sometimes I think people, when they spend that much, they're like, it better be fucking heavy and rich. Because that makes me think I spent my money well.
Well, yeah. This is getting... I mean, again, the tans are coming out. Like, it was so light and breezy originally. And it's gravitasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this is a real fucking
cat. Some of that Brett's blowing off, and the nose is like getting like, dare I say, pretty?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, there's still a little stink, but like you need a little stink so it reminds you that you're alive.
Yeah.
If you're in a flower bed, there's going to be manure. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's how the flowers get so healthy.
That's so beautiful, Kevin.
Thank you.
I've been working
romantic
on a book of quotes. What if that was my future? Guys, I'm quitting wine. I'm going to start just publishing books of quotes.
That will definitely make you enough money to raise two kids.
Yeah. Say you're checking out a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
You see a little book right there, a little pamphlet, Kevin Diamond's book of quotes from the man who brought you Rich Ossie.
Rich Ossie sounds like a future song.
I'm claustrophobic.
So I have some,
that's a good song.
Huge. This is something that I think we didn't talk about on the first episode of the season. Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc. The big thing about them, like, not only are they like overused, overhyped, was the idea, but they are also grapes that famously just fucking taste like themselves.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
And that is the thing that I am wrestling with, which is like the first wine. I felt like I wasn't really tasting Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
This wine is becoming very Cab Sauv as we drink it. But like, that isn't a weird thing to wrestle about.
But the beautiful thing is it's becoming really Cab Sauv and you like it.
I like it, but it already tricked me. It's like when you fall in love with someone and then you realize they have flaws.
Story of my fucking life.
Jesus.
But what is it about the quote-unquote Cab Sauviness that displeases you as a drinker? Like, what are those characteristics? So you're like, I don't like...
Red.
The redness.
I don't like that's red.
Yeah,
I don't like the color.
Yeah. I'd like it to be, like, pink.
Well, see, that's the thing about my relationship to Cab Sauv is I don't dislike the flavor profile at all, really. Mm-hmm. It's what it's usually done or made into that... I just like don't vibe with.
Yeah.
So the same way that like you're like, well, if we're a producer and you feel like, you know, we have a Cab Sauv and we're going to charge $100 for it, we have to put some oak on it because we don't want anyone to be disappointed. I'm coming at it from the opposite way where I'm like, if it's a Cab Sauv and I don't know what it is and it's $100, I'm assuming there's a lot of oak on it and I don't want it.
Want that.
Yeah.
Like I love it. There's no oak on this. I love that. It is really... I think the thing is that like both Cab Sauv and Sauvignon Blanc have their own like things they bring to the table, but also they have such kind of hack ways of expressing them, like the new oak on the cab, and for the Sauvignon Blanc, like the
modern
light, fresh, peppy, green bullshit,
whatever.
And it's interesting because I also associate those with the grapes, but those are just things that are done to it.
Right.
But those are also things that like Merlot and Chardonnay have existed within a time for about as long as these grapes and have had those kinds of things done to them and have somehow broken free. Merlot recently, I would say.
Yeah.
And Chardonnay has like never really suffered.
Because Chardonnay stands for nothing.
Those are more chameleon grapes though.
Right.
Like, They're kind of like that girl that you know that picks up the accent of wherever she's studying that semester.
Right.
I'm sorry you say girl because you weren't talking about
that. You were a little weird when I ran into you in Italy that time.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, not an Italian accent in Italy, just an accent.
When I moved to New York, I was still like when I used to live in London, and I would always apologize with an English accent so people I didn't have conversations. So I'd bump into someone like, "Hey, sorry." And then like I was doing that for like the first couple years I was here because I got used to doing it. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was with someone and I bumped into somebody and I said, "Sorry." And they're like, "What the fuck? That's not how you talk. Why are you like this?" It was so embarrassing. So I started a wine podcast. Oh. I got to be a different kind of person.
All right. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite, "You all right, babes? You all right, love?" It's just such a rude question.
Everything they say sounds so rude.
Yeah. To get back to your point, like, it is interesting the idea that like Chardonnay Merlot inherently are more flexible, mm-hmm. perhaps. I wonder if that is that really true?
You know what's not true? Chenin is not more flexible. Chenin is like might be the white Cab Sauv in that like anything you do to fucking Chenin, it's going to taste like Chenin.
Yeah.
And like you kind of have to just lean into it, which is why the Chenin campaign makes like I love Pascaline. You know, friend of the pod, yada, yada. But like the idea of being obsessed with Chenin Blanc is so funny to me because it's just like you just like the way this thing tastes.
But isn't that?
But what that's okay.
It's about. Can't you like the way something tastes?
No. No.
I think if you, especially like if you think of Chenin as an underdog grape, mm-hmm. which it sort of isn't anymore, but certainly was at one point, mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't understand why everyone doesn't drink this grape all the time. It always tastes great. It always tastes the same.
Yeah, and the Marsha Brady grape. What
people like. Yeah, then yeah. I guess I get that. But it's also like in the year 2024, it seems ridiculous because we've all learned that already now.
Yeah.
What's your favorite grape, Kevin?
Cab Franc. Everyone knows that.
Still?
I think so. I mean, it is sort of also a bit that I've really committed mm-hmm. to. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if like that's like asking a kid what their favorite color is.
It's just
is.
Too much. Mm-hmm. It's too really much.
Or like, who's your favorite band? I don't have a fucking favorite band. I'm 40. I listen to Wilco a lot because I'm a dad. That doesn't mean they're my favorite band.
Yeah.
I just have to legally listen
to them. I feel like I either have to say some, like, when you ask a question, I'd probably say Petit Melier just to be an asshole, you know? Truth. Like
Arban.
Yeah. But the answer is, I have favorite wines.
Yeah, right.
But like grapes, I've had so many. I mean, I like to think of myself as not disliking any grape, but also not having any favorites. Mm-hmm. It's not true.
Yeah.
But that's how I like to think of myself.
But that's my point, I guess. Let's just talk about Cabernet Sauvignon. Let's leave Sauvignon Blanc out of it, because to our point,
there I like Shirello. No one asked me.
No, we know you like Shirello. Okay, you work for Core. You have to like Shirello.
No, we don't have to anymore. That's not in the
more.
No, we have to like Italian wine now.
Okay, cool. I get frustrated with myself for having these preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, I probably am not going to like this Cabernet Sauvignon. But yeah, it's like, you know, fool me once. You know, won't get fooled again.
Yeah.
if repeatedly you're having Cabernet Sauvignon and repeatedly you're like, that's a lot of fucking new oak, man. Like, who can you blame me? Like,
right.
What am I supposed to do? Which, I think this is an interesting point, too, because this isn't labeled. Oh, it is called CAC.
With a K.
But, like, they're not just saying, like, this is Cabernet Sauvignon because they know that they're going to disappoint people who are looking for that and they're going to frighten away people who might have preconceived notions about this grape.
Right.
Italians labeling wine as just a Rosso
always
makes me so happy. It is like the best. The French don't have like when you see like a Vin Rouge, it doesn't sound hot to me. Mm-mm. But like, oh, we have a Rosso. I'm like, okay, daddy, like, let's go. Let's have some Rosso. And I don't know why I'm like that, but like, it's like, oh, this is going to be like a blend of a bunch of fun shit.
Yeah.
Turning my critical thinking off, Dolce Vita on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that they spell it with a K for sure.
Because,
like, you know, you see Cabernet in a bottle. It's from Tuscany. It's $150-something. You're probably thinking, oh, it's probably a Super Tuscan.
Super Tuscan, right.
Which, obviously, this is very much not the style they're chasing.
I guess this could technically be there is no technical for Super Tuscan,
exactly.
But this is a Super Tuscan.
Yeah, I think it's super. Mm-hmm. It's from Tuscany.
Should we do a Tuscany season?
Didn't we?
We did in Italy. We've done like 5 Italy seasons, and they've never been what I want them to be because it's not Italian sparkling wine.
Tuscany would be a fucking great thing.
The only place in Italy I've ever been is Tuscany.
Really?
And you know what? It was cool.
It was nice. Beautiful.
Fucking gorgeous as hell.
They have those trees that look like all pointy.
The pointy trees?
The pointy trees, like Mario-ass trees.
A lot of sunflowers.
A lot of sunflowers.
Diane Lane lives there.
What?
Under the Tuscan sun. Okay. Sexy movie.
I've been watching. I watched A Fish Called Wanda this week.
Have you seen that?
It's a good movie.
It is like, it should be illegal how horny that movie
is. It's very horny.
It's like, I'm 24. I can't watch this with my parents' permission. I almost said my real age. That would have been embarrassing.
I really enjoy this wine a lot. Thank you for suggesting this one.
Thank you for doing the legwork. I suggested it when I thought I had a bottle, and then I felt like an asshole because you had to get it.
It was actually really easy. I got it while taking the dog for a walk. So that's a double win.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I knew that this was, I'd actually seen this bottle before when doing research. So I knew that someplace had it. So I do sort of want to return the Sauvignon Blanc.
Let's go.
Just to see if anything's changed since we started.
This is a very gentlemanly episode.
Well, 2 mustaches and a beard. Mm-hmm. What do you expect? There's an eclipse happening. We had an earthquake.
Yeah, eclipse of my heart.
Mm-hmm. There's about to be a bunch of locusts all over the place. There's a lot of signs of the apocalypse.
I think instead of becoming a right-wing podcast, we would actually have better success being like a vote blue no matter who podcast.
Sure.
Like slash murder mystery one.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
Like, oh, fuck, we could do mystery novels in red wine.
It'd be cool if like the eclipse happens. Shit.
Can I come on and read in an Angela Lansbury type voice?
What does she sound like?
Kind of. British.
Yes, you can definitely.
I don't think she's British.
Her name's Angela.
She definitely is.
But she's not. Okay, not Murder, She Wrote. She's not doing a British
accent. Well, in Murder, She Wrote, she would be British.
She is British.
You never heard the original production of Sweeney Todd?
No.
Right, you aren't gay.
I'm not gay, but I did go to drama school. Johnny Depp was in that one?
Nope. Yes.
I know he's not.
But no.
Are you a musical theater guy?
Did you not know that?
Well, we're musical theater guys, so this would have come up. Do you like Jesus Christ Superstar?
It's not my favorite, but I like it.
So you're a Godspell man, then?
I do like Godspell.
Yeah, Godspell fucking whips.
I'm a Sondheim ho, you know.
Hell yeah.
It's just, it's all...
Sondho.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Sondho.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anything
I'm more of a Gilbert and Sullivan kind of guy.
Ooh,
I'm not. I just thought that was a funny thing to
say. I'm a Gilbert Godfrey kind of
guy. Oh, yeah,
that's actually what I should read the stories in. What voice? But I can only do.
Who was the murderer?
I didn't expect for you to be that good.
That's really good.
What's going on, aristocrats?
Kevin, I hate that.
That is. Did you
I'm
say
a parrot.
The aristocrats.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay.
For a second, I was like, "We should tell an aristocrats joke," and then I was like, "That is not going to go well."
Did you like Rent? Were you a Rent guy?
No. I was never a rock musical person.
My whole theater program in high school, like, we all loved Rent.
Yeah,
equally.
Of course, every theater program did. But yeah, it's never really resonated with me. Hmm. Now, Chorus Line.
Ooh.
Okay. Love.
I was more into like hard shit, like Mammoth. Pretty cool. Swears.
Waiting for Godot.
Waiting for Godot. Just very cerebral.
That's right.
I'm pretty smart.
Yeah. You make your
Chekhov's
kids watch.
Gun is a thing I've heard about.
Oh, yeah.
Had a gabbler. You know, these are just some things I know about for sure.
Tchaikovsky.
Whatever. Swan Lake. Yeah, I don't
Freud.
Know what about
like, no big deal. Yeah.
No big deal. A Fish Called Wanda. These are kind of the things I'm really into.
Yeah, Foucault. Muhammad bin Salman. All the big ones. Yeah,
for sure.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
He's a big influence for sure.
Yeah.
I tend to think I sting like a bee.
I think so. I think you sting like a bee.
Thank you.
with all the red wine tannins in my mouth.
This tastes real nice.
This wine's like dope now. I'm so like, good. Yo.
I don't know if it changed or I did.
No, I completely agree.
I'm like, this is delicious.
Can I actually have another glass? Like, yeah. Do I like this?
Oops. Also, the...
We may have just done these in the wrong order.
The VA did blow off
it just did, right? A bit. There's a little bit more fruit.
Yeah.
Plus, like, my mouth is, like, ready for a refresher.
Guys, I'm getting terped up. All that mean shit we said, that was the old me. The new me is like... I'm living the terp life.
Light a joint and just watch the sun disappear.
We be terping.
We should. I'm gonna listen to Steely Dan on my headphones while I'm watching Eclipse tonight. It's gonna be so tight. So you guys are not gonna look at it at all.
I don't have glasses. I'm not gonna go out of my way to find glasses.
Are you gonna go outside during it? Are you gonna like?
I'm not framing it.
After this, I'm probably gonna go back to the restaurant and be in a dark place.
And you're not gonna like take a 5 minute break to walk outside.
Maybe, but I can't look at it, so what's the point?
You're not going to listen to Dirty Work?
That feels like the wrong song in that catalog for that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Peg.
I would say King of the World.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about the apocalypse. It'd be it's a good vibe for for an eclipse. Sorry. Definitely not an apocalypse. The locusts are coming.
I mean, I also, you know...
Are you scared of it?
I am afraid of... the things that follow.
Hell yeah, brother.
You know, the earthquake has just put me in a really big emotional place.
Yeah, where were you in the earthquake?
I was in my apartment.
Were you scared?
I used to live in California. Mm-hmm. So while I didn't think it was an earthquake, because I was like, they're always doing, you know, I live in a very...
Right.
Like
a busy
high busy neighborhood building. I'm like, I don't know, a train derailed under me or like something happened.
Dropped the bomb.
Yeah, something normally. Yeah. And then it happened for a little longer and I was like, okay, that might have been an earthquake. I wasn't afraid, but I am concerned still.
Yeah, I mean, the signs come in threes.
Yes.
Earthquake, eclipse. Zombie cicadas.
Yes. Joe Biden is going to die this week.
That'd be so cool. I mean, delete that.
It's like how old dogs and elephants, like they just like, you know, like they die like when things happen.
Uh-huh. Excuse me?
Yeah, like, you know, like, oh. Like a snowstorm and all the old dogs die. Or like how old people always die in Christmas.
Uh-huh. Or like, how like Ben Franklin died on the 4th of July.
Yeah, like the psychic weight of the eclipse.
Yeah.
Like, it's the medicine can't keep him alive any longer. And that means we're going to have a really interesting election season.
Yeah, maybe he's getting all of his power from the sun.
Like Superman. Like
Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would track.
Yeah, he's like really strong.
Yeah.
He keeps falling and nothing happens to him. If I took half the falls he's done or got half the plastic surgery he's gotten, like I would look pretty fucked up. And he looks hot.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Maybe we're at, how long have we been recording?
An hour.
Okay. Maybe we're at final thoughts. I love these two bottle episodes. So good. So the Sauvignon Blanc has now gotten kind of good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in comparison to the, just like because the tannins were in our mouth, it was nice to have a change of pace. Final thoughts on these grapes as we sort of, because we could have gone differently on this episode, right? We could have gotten one of those cleaner kind of expressions of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
Would that have been more pleasing to you in general?
No, it would have been more predictable.
Are you asking for him to critique our performance while he's still on the mic? Yes. That is the most me shit ever.
He kind of suggested a couple. He was like, well, we could also go this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I thought it was still a four bottle situation.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, well, it'd be cool to have, like, it would be cool to have this.
Yeah.
And a classic.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather, if we're going to like pick something apart, something that I am... that has more of a probability to surprise me.
Yeah.
And that's really the takeaway about the grapes.
Yeah.
The probability of not just enjoyment, but being surprised.
That's very astute.
Are you mad at us?
I can never be mad at a fellow mustache.
That's what's up. Okay.
Kevin, however, is fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
I have
a beard.
Yeah. Kevin, get in there and shave
more
that fucker.
More ways than one. Yeah, I think that it was a very, like, good way of putting that. Like, when we're looking for wine as the kind of people we are drinking wine, it's very rare that I'm like, I'm going to buy this wine because I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I'm almost always drawn to like, oh, interesting. I wonder what this is like, which means I'm sometimes disappointed. Mm-hmm. Often I'm like, oh, okay, that was fine.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while I'm like, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that happens rarer or less often with these grapes.
Right.
Because people are less likely to take a chance with them because of all the fucking inherent money built into doing it the way people expect.
Yeah, I mean, if you ripped up a bunch of your native vines to make money with Sauvignon Blanc, like, why would you
make it weird?
Yeah.
Why would you have fun with it?
Yeah.
How often do you actually stumble upon, like, oh, there's some weird, like, good, well-farmed Sauvignon Blanc that no one's doing anything with? Like, it's like, that doesn't happen that often either.
Right.
So, like, these stories become sparser. And the opportunity to do something cool becomes a little bit more rare or a little bit more risky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cool.
That's your final thought.
I guess if anyone's mad at me, don't. Don't be
mad at John. Just DM him. Mm-hmm. Let him know why.
And yeah, stop buying wine. Just
smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah. Hey.
Because I got high. First song I ever bought on CD.
Wow. Was
not even the real version. It was some other guy doing it was like songs in the style of Afro Man.
Oh, man. Like kids bop style?
Yeah, it was adult kids bop.
One of my favorite.
Adult bop. Grown ups bop.
I've been rewatching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Is it good?
It's really funny.
It's so good.
I think it's the funniest. Like, it's like if 30 Rock had less plot. It's really fucking funny. And one of the best, like, ongoing jokes is, like, they buy tapes, not CDs, and the tapes are called, now that sounds like, but is legally different from the music I like, Volume 1. and that's exactly what that sounds like you bought, where it's like, it's not quite because I got high.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah. So, very similar.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we got. Thank you guys for listening to Disgorgeous, the podcast about wine.
Do you want to plug anything or announce?
Yeah. Follow Heroes NYC, new restaurant coming summer.
Is that named after the ABC show?
It's named after my favorite sandwich.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Great. Hero.
Heroes?
No. Hero. No, please spell it HEROES NYC.
Do you believe that if you save the cheerleader, you will save the world?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm the cheerleader, so easy, done.
And you don't need saving.
You need
saving. That's what I'm
Mario, the sommelier is in another castle.
I did want to almost name this season Solve the Cheerleader, Solve the World, but I didn't think anyone would get the right.
I would have really loved that.
I know you
would have loved that. And it would have tied in a lot better.
Mm-hmm. I have a plug, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
It's patreon.com/disgorgeous. There are some good interviews coming up.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nothing else?
I got really nothing else in my life.
Thanks for being here, Kenneth.
Thank you for having me. Thank you both.
I wish you safety and luck in the coming apocalypse.
Thank you for being a friend.
I'm going back to the bunker after this.
So. We'll bunker down together.
All right. Namaste, guys.
Bye.
Cheers.